Howdy, howdy, everyone. This is Dougie Slap, a.k.a. Douglas H. Malloy, and welcome to my point of view. I literally just logged in. It's funny how you have things and they timeline you and all that kind of good stuff. But anyway, let's get on with the show, seeing as I am here and I am ready to rock and roll. Anyway, I hope everybody's doing well. I am doing probably as well as anyone can hope to, and all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, one of the nice things about our life and times is what it facilitates. And all that kind of good stuff. And one of the things that we find is that when we're looking at the process of what we're involved with, there's a few details to take into consideration. One is the invader culture mindset. The other is the indigenous way of life, and then there's the arbitrariness of everyone else. And arbitrariness encompasses 98% of the human race come from a perspective of arbitrariness. And there's a reason for that, because one of the things that I'm struck by is that everybody on the planet is responsible for his or her discipline development, where they're at, so to speak. We have this idea that the seven institutions of the invader culture mindset, which are science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine, are responsible for our health and welfare and everything that that entails, but that is not true. Those seven institutions exist for the sole purpose of hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, under the premise or guise of war, greed, and class distinction, or what is known as conquering, enslaving, and destroying. There is a reason for it. I said one of the developments within the context of the creation is negative service polarity, of which there are lots of aspects to. I said one of the things that we get to do within the context of our humanity is we get to resolve our issues acting as catalysts. We get to develop our talents so that we have something to contribute, and then we get to work on conscious awareness. Conscious awareness is accomplished through meditation specifically. The simple fact is that if an individual doesn't meditate, there's only so much he or she will be conscious of within the context of the process. The only reason why I say that is there was 40 years ago, I got four different things that came my way, four different catalysts that came my way, all on the same day, about the importance of meditating. Edgar Cayce's A Search for God, Volumes 1 and 2 was one, and then there were three other individuals that I met that stressed the importance of meditation. So I started meditating basically when I was, I guess it was 17 years ago. And so I've been meditating for basically 42 years. And I'm not done. There's always something else that has to be done and so on. One of the things that people don't realize is that each individual is responsible for his or her life pretty much across the board. And we don't want that. And the reason why we don't want it is we want God, or we want entities, or we want beings. I'm always fascinated by people that pray to entities that they want something from someone, much as a child wants something from the parent, or there's a sense of lack, need, want, wound. And in the context of the process, from the perspective of the individual, the idea is that something or someone is going to give me what I want. One of the things that was curious was about Rhonda Byrne and her presentation of The Secret. I said one thing, nothing is a secret, everything is obvious, even if it's not seen. And two, we are not here to get what we want. We are here to evolve beyond a particular protection or perspective. It's one of the reasons why opposites exist, is because we have the opportunity of evolving beyond what the catalyst is. There are those things that we enjoy. There are those things that present to us a particular perspective or point of view. And oftentimes, negativity isn't understood for the role that it plays. And because it's not understood for the role that it plays, oftentimes the experience as a catalyst is missed. And this is something that is daunting. I've been doing personal work for almost 50 years. And I'm closer in one regard, even though technically there is no distance. We have the idea of time and space as a durated placement. Time is the duration of something. Space is the placement of something, so that it can simply exist within the context of its design. And oftentimes we don't pay attention to what the design is or how the design works. And so the point is missed. So humanity is faced with a very daunting thing now, because we are literally at the end of third density, about to enter into fourth density. The planet is literally becoming a positive, energetic-based system, if you will, or state of existence. And here's the glitz about that, is that if we don't take into consideration what is going on, we will simply fail to realize what's going on. And here's the thing. Within the discipline or development of our life, we are basically presented with things so that we will simply choose what we want our life to be involved with as a form of contribution. The only thing that's taking place in the entire creation is the contribution something makes as what it is to something else. Science has decided that when it looks at predation on the surface of this planet, it's survival of the fittest. But that's not what's going on. When a given species is predated, in the sense that one thing gives its life to add its life giving to life, so that there can be an evolutional development in the context of both aspects that are involved. A spider consumes an insect, so the insect ceases to exist and the spider can continue on living. That's life giving to life, so that there can be development within the context of what has died. And it's not really a death, so to speak. It's simply changing from one state to another. In Meir Baba's book, God Speaks, Meir Baba talks about seven levels of creation, each composed of seven levels. So he talked about it in the book, God Speaks, of mineral, vegetable, worm, reptile, fish, bird, mammal. And he talks about seven levels of development that each thing goes through as it evolves. One of the things that's interesting is the role that numeration plays. 1, 3, 7, 13, 21, 31, 43, 57 is one numeration. Then there's the Fibonacci, which is 1, 2, 3, 3 and 2 is 5, 5 and 3 is 8, 8 and 5 is 13, 13 and 8 is 21, and then it goes 34, and I'm not sure what the other numbers are. And there's lots of other developments or how consciousness evolves from one state to another according to the raw material There are seven densities that compose the universe. Each density is composed of eight octaves. Where we are at right now is the eighth octave of third density. We're about to enter into the first octave of fourth density. The energetic base of life on the planet now is negative base, negative energy. So you have the electron is active, the positron is latent, and from a state that is neutral because it's the balance of both. What we are doing in the context of our lives is we are activating the positive so that there's a direct correspondence within the context of our lives between the positive as who we are and life as it will exist on this planet as the positive, and we are evolving into the positive. One of the things that happens in the evolution of a human beingness is that human beingness lasts for 75,000 years from start to finish. There are three cycles that take place. At the end of 25,000 years, there is a harvesting of souls. At the end of 50,000 years, there's a harvesting of souls. At the end of 75,000 years, there's a harvesting of souls. The first harvest, zero harvest. The second harvest, 150 people out of 392,000 were harvestable, and they chose to remain. We are now at the last. If people are wondering why there are so many people on the surface of the planet, it is that everyone that has been involved with this planet in any context or capacity is given the opportunity to be involved with the harvest. According to Hatan, which is that that harvests the soul, there is only approximately 2 million people that are going to be harvestable at this point in time. One of the reasons why channeling has become so prevalent is there's an urgency on the part of the creation for getting people to pay attention to the details that evolve. And unfortunately, we are not paying attention to what evolves. We are simply going about our business. It's basically we go about our business according to whims of the moment, and we're not paying attention to anything outside of that. Now, in Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh is told, in the absence of that which is not, that which is not. In Conversations with God, we are also told, nothing is inappropriate given one's measure of the world. So one of the things that we find is that one of the really curious things about life on this planet now is everyone on the planet is faced with one detail. Who of the 7 billion plus people are going to repeat third density on another planet? This is critical in the sense that if what is going on humanly, the only thing that a given individual has to do is change the point of reference so that the point of reference corresponds to that which is well, fine, and good, and so on. One of the things that I have found useful is there's meditation, in my case, written and read books, and music, and martial arts. These are things that I have learned. And then there's vision boards. And I have a bunch of vision boards. And I find I got the idea of vision boards from Michael Beckwith in The Secret had a vision board. And he put the vision boards away. And he was showing his son the vision board. And he was struck by the fact that the house that he was living in, the picture of the house was on his vision board because that's where he wanted to live. One of the things that takes place is that we basically are given those things that we need to assist us in our sense of wholeness, if you will. One of the things that I have found in the work that I have done is that as one, I made a decision about 20 years ago to stop using negativity to draw attention to myself. And so negativity as a form of hostility basically doesn't place within the context of my life. because there has to be a correspondence between the individual and the life he or she is living and the things that take place. And this is across the board. Random acts of whatever do not take place, ever. There's only the oneness of synchronicity of the right thing at the right time for the right reason involving the right people, places, or things. And what I have found since coming back to California 3 years ago, that the interesting thing is that the oneness of synchronicity is stunning and profound. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was playing at a festival on the 24th of July, and I made a little mental note that there's a lady that I would like to meet, and an hour and a half later, she literally came up to me and asked me for my business card. It's like that pretty much across the board. I think it, I feel it, I sense it, I think it, I envision it, and lo and behold, it takes place. One of the things that's important to understand, this comes from the raw material. The statement in the raw material is this. Every thought a person has an antithesis to it. And that's true of everything. There is a positive and negative to everything at this level of the creation. Yes, there is a state that precedes the creation that is unified. Yes, there is a state that follows from this that is unified. However, from the point of the existence of the creation, there is always going to be a contrast to something because it's the only way that the contrast can be recognized. It's the only way that the contrast can be understood. One of the things that we don't do a very good job with within the context of our lives is understanding the role that positive and negative energy is as male and female. Female is to negative energy, but masculine is to positive energy. So negative energy is not just negative things. It's a state of existence. In one sense, the way that the creation can be understood is that what the negative is to fear and darkness, the positive is to love and light. Another way, what the positive is to light and love, the negative is to love and light. And this is something that we humans don't do a very good job with within the context of our lives. One of the things that I find interesting is that within the composition of male and female is that every man is also a woman, and every woman is also a man. Every man is a woman. Every woman is a man. That's part of the design. Yes, we are the oneness of divergent states, and then divergent states are allowed to exist, in our cases, male and female, masculine and feminine on a personal level, male and female on a relational level. And for me, I think it's an absolutely wonderful design. I think it's absolutely a cool thing because there's just so much that goes hand in hand within the context of the process. We, however, don't do a very good job of understanding that there's only equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility between the masculine and feminine, male and female. So what we have is, in the old days, there was matriarchy, and the problem with matriarchy was the male was considered only in the context of sexual laborers. So patriarchy, and this comes from conversations with God, patriarchy was simply the karmic result where now the male think of female in the same context as sexual laborers. There will come a point in time in which there will be equality, balance, relationship, purpose, and harmony between male and female according to the design, in which there isn't gender disparity. That's one of the great fictions. The simple fact of the matter is that there is no such thing as superiority within the context of the creation. The simple fact of the matter is a grain of sand has as much relevance or realness as a person, a place, a thing, a planet, a solar system, a galaxy. The moon is not greater or lesser than the planet. The planet is not greater or lesser than the sun. An ant is not greater or lesser than a bird. A bird is not greater or lesser than a fish. There are simply aspects that compose life on this planet in one constant, and there are simply aspects of the whole that we are involved with. One of the reasons why we live the way that it do is because of the prevalence of negative service polarity involved with this planet. There is no getting away from that. The irony is that people pay more attention to negativity than they do anything else, because individuality comes with a negative bias by design. Collectives are positive. Individuality is negative, and that's how the process works within the context of a species. An individual ant is more negative than positive. The colony as a whole is positive as a state. It's the same thing with our life as a human being. My body is a collective, which makes it a positive thing. When I think of myself solely within the context of my individuality, that automatically converts what is positive into a negative point of reference. One of the things that I was told about individuals that have ascended, no matter how loving and enlightened they are, an individual who ascends, who becomes an ascended master, is more negative than positive, because individuality as a state is negative as a bias. That's according to energetic state of fact. The work or the trick is that can we move from an individual state into a collective state to where everybody is literally living love and light according to will and consciousness within the composition as a whole. One of the things that people don't realize is that if fear and darkness is not resolved, then you can't have individuality with fear and darkness. Fear and darkness are what allow individuality to exist within the context of love and light. If an individual wants to understand how the universe or anything else exists, science talks about the four forces. Okay. But what you have within the composition is you have love and fear, light and dark, as four forces that allows for holographics to stand. It begins as the universe, as a planet, as a human being, as anything that is a representation of, in the big picture, it's a representation of God. And there's a reason for that. The reason why the creation came into existence was because God's original state is all-encompassing. It's uniform, constant, and it never changes. It's the state that surrounds the universe. The universe is within the all-encompassingness God, as the diversification of God is that which is infinite. It's also total as is. One of the things that an individual can understand within the composition of the nature of the self is mind, body, spirit, and soul are will of light and consciousness of God, Yahweh, and universe that are infinite, eternal, complete, total, as is, and they work in an identical manner to the sun, the earth, the moon, and the universe as that which radiates, absorbs, illuminates, and encompasses. The work that we do is to simply become conscious of that. When an individual is conscious, then the opportunity / responsibility / obligation of the individual is to contribute to the health and welfare of others so that others will aspire to be the same level of consciousness. It is not about worshiping this, worshiping that. It's not about praying to this, praying to that. It's about becoming the consciousness of as a state of existence that will contribute to that which is considered less than or lower than, and that which is equal to and that which is greater than. What does that mean? It simply means this. Every teacher that has come to this planet, from Zoroaster to Buddha to Jesus and so on, has learned what they have learned, and then they have worked at contributing that to the health and welfare of others, the planet, the entire creation. One of the useful things with meditating is a person can enter into a state of energetic enhancement in which the heart will open, and the next thing you know, the heart is radiating energy like the sun, and the next thing you know, it's enlivening the body, it's activating the brain, and the only thing that happens from that is the individual sends that to people, places, and things. The entire creation does that. It's like the sun. The sun radiates so that all life forms can experience the same life. The spirit brings every life form, and you'll notice that every single life form lives according to the same spirit. Within the context of mind, body, spirit, soul, what we have is that the mind is to God what embodiment is to life, what embodiment is to representation, what spirituality is to life, because the spirit brings to life that which is a representation of the mind as a projected objectification, and then the soul becomes conscious of itself as that. The soul literally incarnates into the body. Here's an exercise. The next time you are close to or near or around a newborn baby, you'll notice that there's a soft spot on the head. The skull has not enclosed. After the soul incarnates into the body, and it's always done after the child is born, the soul incarnates, and then the soft spot closes, enclosing the soul in the body. Part of the work that we do is becoming or remembering the soul. There are three veils that are specific. One is access to God. We are veiled from that. There is the law of confusion or the law of free will. There's the veil of confusion, and then there's the veil of forgetfulness. The soul forgets that it is a soul that comes from someplace in the universe so that it becomes conscious specifically of the embodiment that it's in and all that that entails. From the point of remembering the soul, there's also clarity of insight, certainty, if you will, that is a contrast against the law of confusion. And then there's the veil of access, and the veil of access is in place so that an individual, if he or she doesn't do the appropriate work, simply will not have access to God consciousness. There's very, very little on the planet right now that deals with the nature of the self according to its design. And there's a reason for that. Science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine are antithetical to human beingness according to its design. Notice, the indigenous way of life did not require those seven institutions as its way of life. No science, no religion, no education, no business, no politics, no law, no medicine. Here's what's interesting. The indigenous way of life at one time was disease-free. At one time, the indigenous way of life was harmonious amongst the different cultures, the different tribes, and so on. What has happened over the years is indigenous people have basically been systematically exterminated from the surface of this planet. Look at where the different countries are that are indigenous people, and you'll notice that as a rule, white people came along and basically changed the dynamics of the parameters of the culture from Africa to Australia to the Inuit in Alaska. At one time, there was approximately 350 indigenous cultures in just the United States, Canada. And then there were indigenous people in South America, indigenous people in Europe and Asia and so on. And when we look at the historicity, we look at what has taken place. Well, the simple fact is this. We are going to get back to living as the design created us to exist as, and the invader culture mindset is going to become extinct, and I believe it's within the next 3 to 5 years. I'll keep you posted. Anyway, this is Welcome to My Point of View. I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy, a.k.a. Dougie Slap. I'd like to thank Gigi Dance for coming and being in the chat room. And we will do it again next week, same time, same flavor, and all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, the one thing that I recommend is feel something real, think something true, share them in ways that are kind and conducive. Work at being at peace with yourself, because stillness, peace, and harmony are natural to the heart, the torso, and the head. And life is good, but not you all. So anyway, we will do it again. And thank you all. And hey, you're going to love it. Thank you.